Yolande Brown, Karen and Kevin Walker, good evening.
Good evening.
Now, you are Shropshire Alternative Car Club, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, give me a bit of an overview.
Well, in 2002, we bought a Birkin, which is a South African 7, so it's like a Caterham 7 or
Caterham 7. Yeah.
And we were looking for a club, and all the clubs we found were one-car clubs, and we were unique in this one car from South Africa. So we decided, or my husband decided, he said, you start a car club. So
great.
I did.
You didn't need much persuading then?
No. I run a bed and breakfast, and it's amazing the number of people who come and say, oh, your husband's interested in cars.
Right.
No.
It's you.
I am. So when he retired, I said, if you're going to retire, we can have a proper car. And we had had a 1933 MG before we were married. So we were looking for something similar, which is why we came up with the Birkin.
So this is open top.
Oh, yes.
Pretty quick.
Yes.
And all the other clubs were for a mark or a
specific type of car?
Yeah,
or classics.
Right.
And we weren't any of those.
Ah, okay. Yeah. So there was nowhere for you to fit.
Yeah.
So what's alternative about this? Would you welcome everyone?
Well, exactly. That is the most important thing. We invite anybody to come. We started with as a kit car club, and then we started getting classics and all sorts of other people.
Was yours a kit car?
No.
No.
It was cheaper to buy it ready-built from South Africa than to buy it as a kit.
Right.
So we bought it.
And I always think a little bit more reliable than if you built it yourself. You've got to be pretty good.
yeah,
we're getting groans in.
Don't tell Roger.
Okay. Well, we'll get on to that shortly. So what's it like to drive?
Oh, fantastic. I love it to bits. We have 5 cars. And we have 4 kit cars and 1 particularly ridiculous car.
Okay.
But the Birkin is the love of my life.
Right, okay. So list me your current fleet.
Did I give you a picture? I think you've got a picture there of our cars.
I have somewhere. I've got some of your literature.
Ah,
here we go. Yeah.
So,
right, now you've got... Which is the Birkin?
The Birkin is the little red one.
It's the red one at the top. And that does look like a Caterham 7, doesn't it?
Yes, very, very close.
The iconic one. Now, you've got one that looks a little bit like Thunderbird 6 or whatever the yellow one is, the submarine, the estate there. That's quite...
Oh, the bottom one. Yeah. I'll leave that to the last. Okay. That's the weirdest of all.
Right, yeah, exactly. Talk me through them, then.
The other yellow one, it looks like a 30s car. In fact, it is a Reliant Kitten.
Oh.
It's a Tempest kit car built on a Reliant Kitten.
As in Reliant, who made the Robin?
Yes.
Wow, okay.
But they made lots of four-wheeled cars.
Did they?
Yes, lots.
Okay.
And that is built on a Reliant Kitten. So that was the second car. And we bought that so that I could do trials. But when we found out that trials just don't happen up here, trials are in the southwest.
What's a trial, for those who don't know?
Well, you have a series of hills and you have numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Okay.
Other way round, one at the top. And you have to standing start and you go... as far as you can up these very difficult hills.
Oh, until you stop.
Yes.
Right.
And you get to the top and you've only got one point and that's great. So you've gone from 10, which is bad, up to 1, which is good.
Okay.
And then we found out, as I say, that trials are very popular in the southwest, and we came from Dorset originally and we used to do a lot of trials in the MG. So I think I've only been on one trial.
So that's different to the hill climbs at Lowton Park doing things like that. Yeah.
Completely different. Okay. Yes, yeah.
And this one looks fabulous, by the way. It looks like a wedding car.
Our 1920-ish van, because it's all plastic. It's built on a London taxi.
Okay, like a Hackney carriage.
So the first thing you had to do was buy a taxi, and that was driven up from Bedfordshire by a young man, and Roger had asked, how do you like being paid? And the boss said, we do like pictures of the Queen. So this young man went back on the train with a Sainsbury's bag full of £1,000.
Wow. That's, wow.
So
yeah.
Then we had to strip it down to the chassis. And we were trying to find people who would take all this rubbish off our hands. And we found somebody who had a couple of London taxis, which he used to take people to hospital.
Okay.
So he wanted some bits. And Roger said, well, either you have what you want and it'll be very expensive.
Yeah.
Or you take the lot and you can have it for free. He knew a gentleman with a pickup with a hoist on the back. And so they came, they took the whole lot away. He then went, Roger then went to India on a business trip and left me with a bucket of petrol and a wire brush to clean the chassis.
Okay.
As you do.
Yeah.
Then we had to
He seems full of great ideas. Doesn't do a lot, does he?
Oh, he does. Oh, yes, okay. He does. Then we had to trailer it up to near Wigan, and they put the subframe on the chassis. And so that they knew it was going to be right with the shape of the body on it. And then everything else was chucked inside.
Why?
And that was 2010. And when it's the coldest winter for 35 years, it's amazing what work you can do on the kitchen table when it's so cold outside.
What about the one at the bottom? That looks modern, decidedly modern.
Well, that's our latest acquisition. It's a Bertini.
Oh, okay.
And it's a body kit.
Ah.
And Complete Kit Car magazine, they stripped down BMW Z3 over a weekend at a show, Donington, and built the Bertini just to prove it could be done in a weekend.
Wow. So what's that underneath?
BMW Z3.
It is a Z3.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so we wanted a new car that, because with the Birkin, you can't take three pairs of knickers in the Birkin.
No, it's not the most practical, is it? Boot size isn't great.
So we got hold of Complete Kit Car and said, do you fancy selling it? We'll buy it. So we bought it.
Oh, so this is the exact one?
Yes.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so we know it's been built by all these super clever kit car builders. And that is super. And then Roger had another idea.
I'm noticing a pattern here.
He bought the company.
Okay.
Which had been for sale for a while.
Right.
And so now a friend of ours who mends boats is building these Bertinis. We've sold one to America. He's built two.
Yeah.
And sold one to America, which is on its way this week.
Right, so now you're frankly probably the leading part of Britain's car manufacturing industry, given how it's declined. Okay, now, Karen and Kevin, how did you get involved in all of this?
In this madhouse.
Yeah.
Well, we've both been interested in cars for years. In fact, we met. We were marshalling at Alton Park.
Oh, were you? Mm. Oh, brilliant.
And, well, we were stitched together, if you like, from friends of ours. And Karen went her way, I went my way, and then while we were there, we realised that we're both interested in cars.
Yeah.
Karen is very interested in steam.
Oh, right.
Her dad had traction engines and steamrollers. So.
And tractors and all kinds.
And I know, when the steam vehicles are driving through Iron Bridge, I think they go to the show, don't they? It's the most incredible sight. They're trying to get up the hill as well, the hills.
Yeah, so we were sort of stitched together. We're both interested in cars. We bought a Ginetta, which is what Karen's got on a T-shirt there. That's a kit car, a British kit car. That one, ours, was built in 1959.
Wow.
Yeah.
Based on what the older people understand, the old upright Ford Pop.
Okay.
The one with the side valve engine.
Right.
And we bought it as quite a large car with a few bits, and we managed to convert it into a small car with a lot of bits.
Yeah.
It's taken 12 years to get it down to the stage it's in.
But then we've had a house moved, well, a couple of house moves. And we've also had to have a shed built to sort of put all the workshop stuff in.
And Jack, the engine.
Yeah, friend of ours.
One of the Shack members who sadly had been told he couldn't drive anymore because his eyesight, distance eyesight, was failing.
Yeah.
We were talking to him at one of the meetings and said, well, we come from St Martin's. To get to Knockin, we go through Gaboin, and he lives at the back of the orthopaedic hospital.
Right.
So I said, well, we're going through. I'll pick you up. It's as easy, 2 minutes out of a way.
Yeah.
So we're just chatting to Jack and said, do you know anything about the side valve engines? Yeah, I was brought up on them. So
handy.
So I took him home and let him have a look. He said, do you want me to rebuild the engine for you? He said, oh, yeah, that'd be grand, thanks. He's two weeks older than the Queen.
Wow. How long did it take him?
Oh, well, I didn't put him on a time limit, so I just let him get on with it.
Yeah, you didn't want to set him any deadlines. But how long did it take?
It took him about 6 months. Yeah.
That it?
Yeah.
Wow.
And a complete rebuild. And to be fair, we put it in the car, put batteries on it, turned it over, and it started on about the third pull.
Wow.
It was a treat. Mm.
That's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah.
So where do your members come from? How many have you got?
We tend to be based on the west side of the county, northwest of the county, and we send people come in from Wales. But then we've got people coming from Wellington as well.
Church Stretton.
Church Stretton.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, Eton Manor.
Yeah.
John and Nikki.
Yeah.
So, what do you do? Do you meet up? Do you do little rallies every month?
We have this newsletter, which I love writing. I absolutely.
This is your baby, the newsletter.
Yes, yeah.
Right.
We go. We have three runs through the year when we go to long run, like to the sea.
Okay.
Or,
yeah.
You know, quite a distance. We always go to the hospice Attingham Park run.
Brilliant.
Which is. You know, and they're very good there, and they manage to put all the people from one club together. I don't know how they do it. And we then various people go to other meetings and then send a report back to me, which I then
put in the newsletter. Brilliant.
So they talk about, you know, what the show was like and whether it's worth going, perhaps look out for it next year or don't bother.
Yeah. Now, what sort of range of vehicles have you got? And has somebody got something you're all terribly jealous of or not?
Oh, no, I don't think so.
No.
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 No. We range from the kit cars that you see on the paper there. We normally use a Mazda MX-5.
As the base?
As the base. Yeah. That's our little pride and joy, if you like, a 1992 MX-5. We have a chap with some Land Rovers. The normal guy, how many Land Rovers do you have? Head in hands, too many. We think it's around 24.
Where does he keep them?
He's got it like a small holding.
I mean, the Land Rover is not a small vehicle anyway.
No,
no.
No.
I mean, you've got 25 of them.
In fairness, he was a Land Rover specialist somewhere down in Oxfordshire.
And his son still is.
Which, you know, is fine, but I work here. I don't take everything home at the end of, end of the night.
I love the story about Guy. He went to a show somewhere in Yorkshire, I think it was, and they were judging the best car of the day, and he won. And there were some very cross people about, because even if they'd got a Series 1, they'd polished it to bits.
Yeah.
His had come straight off the field.
That's part of it, though, isn't it? If you've got a Land Rover, it should be dirty.
It's a utility vehicle.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else? A couple of MX-5s.
The Scimitar. Which is another Reliant. I can't remember.
John...
A lot of drop-top sports cars here. This is good.
We would like more kit cars.
Okay.
And more active kit car owners. That's something, an appeal on the programme.
Now, this is kit cars in the main, isn't it? Is that...
Well, that's how it started.
Right, okay.
And now it's a real mixture.
Which brings me to that you used to see kit cars, it seems to me, far more than you do now. Is that fair?
I think that is probably true, although we've noticed if we go down back home to Dorset, there are a lot more down there because I think the weather's better and they can have open cars more.
Is that because, and I would include myself in somebody who loves driving, loves cars, has no idea how they work because I've never had to. Are we losing the skills?
I think we are.
Yes, I would say so.
For sure, yeah.
How hard is it to construct something that works and is reliable?
Well, in the past, kids just grew up with their dads putting the car together to go to work in the morning. But so we've lost that it's, people grow up with it. But the trend now is for these body kits.
Right, so you've the main bulk of the workings are there.
Yeah, so you take off a body like the Bertini Z3, BMW Z3, you take off the body, which is not difficult, and you buy a kit, which is the moulds, the mouldings, and you put it back on. You've got a thing telling you how to do it, and it can be done, if you're really clever, in a weekend, but more likely a bit longer than that.
Are there any restrictions on what you can and can't do legally? Can anyone build a car from scratch and have it road legal? What process does it have to go through?
Now, there is a problem of getting it past the dreaded...
SVR.
What's that?
Single Vehicle...
Registration.
Okay.
Yeah. And we used to be able to do this here in Shrewsbury. Then it went, we had to go to... Telford, and now you have to go the other side of Manchester.
Oh, really? Do you?
So you can drive your car up there, and if they don't like it, like for instance, one of the things they do is if there's a screw sticking out, that's not good enough. Go back and, you know, do something.
And then could you legally not drive it back?
You can drive it home, but then you have to trailer it back up again.
What? Wow.
It's the SVR is like a very, very stiff MOT.
Right.
Very, very.
Very.
So it does make it, that's the other thing, it makes it very difficult to build a kit car.
Yeah.
Because they're going to be so strict.
It's got to be perfect.
Yes. But then you get a lot of engineers who retire and they want to do something like that.
And do you need a lot of kit to build it? Do you need a lot of tools, a lot of equipment when you get a kit?
No.
Or is it fairly easy to assemble?
Oh, yeah.
No, I think the bulk is a standard socket set, maybe the odd specific tool to the type of car you're building, but in general,
by and large, you can do it with the stuff you've got in your shed. What do you love about it? Is it the driving? Is it the thrill of being in the car, or is it the putting it together and the building it and the creating?
Both.
It's both.
And it's being different, and it's ours, and nobody else has one like it.
Yeah.
That I find, you know, you'd see people in a modern car with a fancy number plate and you think, you've only got a different number plate. I've got a different car.
Yeah. Are you good at keeping them up? And by that, I mean, does it take a lot of work to keep them okay? Or when you built them, are they fine?
No.
Our little Ginetta, being based on a mid-1950s car.
Yeah.
As we worked out, I went to Barcelona with a friend of mine in an old Porsche, and we worked out if we'd have covered the same distance in our Ginetta, it would have had to have had three major services.
Along the way?
Literally. On the way.
Why? Is that...
Because the service interval on a car of that age was so short.
How often do you have to get it serviced?
It would be somewhere just around 1,000 mile mark.
Wow! So if you do 10,000 miles a year, you can't
services.
Have that as your main car, can
but
you? Really?
No. But you wouldn't.
No,
anyway.
You would. It's not very practical anyway.
No.
But you'd be tinkering at it all the time, wouldn't you? So.
Yeah.
Somebody asked me just recently about the car. I can't even remember which one it was. And how long does it take you to keep it like that? I said, nothing really. As though I polished it to bits every day.
On a daily basis.
No.
Is there something in there they don't build it like they used to, when you've got those old cars or cars that are built like they would have been previously, that they're a bit more solid, a little bit less complicated?
No, they rot a bit.
Right, okay. So that's a fallacy.
Yeah. I mean, in a lot of cases, you find that a lot of the older cars were rubbish when they were new.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in fact, they're probably better now because the people look after them more.
Right, yeah, okay.
Yeah, but I don't know, really. There's just a lot of pleasure in driving something that you work on yourself.
There's a lot of Italian cars and a lot of Italian-sounding cars here, which sounds very glamorous.
The Bertini, the chap who designed it originally, his mother had Italian connections, so that's why he gave it that name.
So it's not Italian engineering, which looks great, but the stereotype
built in Somerset
will break down as soon as you get round the corner, whereas maybe something in Somerset won't. I don't know. Well, is there something that you'd love to get, love to see, love to have join? Are there sort of holy grails of this type of car?
No, I think we all have different ideas.
Yeah. Because, I mean, you love tractors, don't you? Why?
Well, because I was farming at one point.
Okay.
And we had one tractor that we used to use for scraping out. And I just thought it was such a lovely little tractor that when I could find one, I bought one.
Are they
because
fun?
They were just...
To drive?
Again, it's different, isn't it?
Yeah, it's different.
Yeah.
Because a lot of them have rotted away over the years through use, and you don't really see them very often now.
Do you all love driving? You must, if you're doing driving events and things like that.
I would have loved to have done some trials, but now I'm a bit ancient. So I just use our amazing Felicity to go to Shrewsbury and think about that.
You're never too old, are you? Come on. You can have another go. Make a comeback. There's still time.
But I've never been one for driving fast.
Right.
I just like being out. I'm particularly in an open car. I love it. And I don't care if it's raining.
Is there something about the wind in your hair and that exposure to the feel of the movement?
Yeah.
Yeah.
By Mazda.
What is it you fell in love with first? Was it the machines or the driving?
Machines, I think.
Yeah.
When I first started to drive... 50 years, well, best part of 50 years ago, the best I could afford was something that was just about knackered.
Yeah.
So I had to learn quickly through friends and people that you know how to put it together, and I enjoyed doing that. And in fact, the first thing I had was a ex-dry cleaner's Vauxhall Viva van.
Oh, wow.
And it was 2 years old and it cost me £15 and I was done.
How much of your wage was that at that time?
Oh, probably at the time about 2 weeks because I would have been an apprentice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's a significant sum, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
And as you've kind of got older and I guess, you know, worked hard, has it been something, does it feel like a treat? Getting something that, you know, a bit of an indulgence, a bit of a toy.
Yeah. Also, although I was never an actual vehicle mechanic, for a short period I was a race mechanic for a close friend of ours that lived just around the corner from me, and I got a heck of a kick out of that.
Yeah. Well, the adrenaline must be
although
on
I never
race
drove
day.
The car.
No, but just being part of trying to win something.
Mm.
And I guess time is of the essence, isn't it, whenever you're doing something?
That's
and
right,
did you do, like, pit stops and things like that?
No, it was just normally Alton Park type 15-lap race.
Right.
But
in what
nice.
Sort of cars?
The one that I worked on most looked a bit like a Lotus Elan.
Oh, OK.
But it was actually a space frame chassis with a Ford Cosworth engine in it.
Wow.
From the Cosworth Sierra.
Who taught you? Teach yourself?
He did.
Right.
Richard, the driver. Mm. Yeah. He just... he had a method of saying, if you've got the strength, could you pop round on Sunday afternoon for an hour?
Right.
And Sunday afternoon for an hour normally meant
all
you
day.
Might be away till about 7 at night.
Yeah. Do you get a lot of women in the club? Because stereotypically, this is men in sheds, isn't it?
We don't get women as part of the club, but because we're so open and not besotted with engines, everybody brings their wife.
Okay.
So it's and wives are always very welcome.
Do you still get the assumption that it's your husband's club and your husband's car?
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah.
Is that so deep set? Do you think that cars are associated with men? Where does that come from?
I guess it must be. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, it's men with motors and women who do the sewing and the cooking and the cleaning.
And I'm of that age that I must just have been the woman who did the cooking and the sewing.
Well, there's that thing, isn't there, that when people walk into car showrooms, if it's a couple, they'll talk to the man. Which probably, I suppose is some sort of subconscious.
I've never been into a car showroom.
No, because they don't sell the individual parts. This is a problem for you. Who's a better driver, you or your husband?
Oh, my husband.
Oh.
Oh, yes.
I didn't expect that.
Oh, yes.
Why?
Yes.
What's wrong with your driving?
You haven't got time.
Right, okay.
I didn't learn to drive until I was 50. I thought, I think I'll learn to drive. Right.
So when did you get into cars?
Well, sitting beside Roger in the MG.
Right, and you'd never bothered to learn to drive?
No. Wow. And I was very proud of the fact that I marshalled on an RAC rally, and I was probably the only marshal.
With no driving licence? That's fantastic. So what was the change? Something to do when you were 50?
Yeah, I think I'll do that before I'm 50.
That's incredible. Did you find it easy?
I passed a second time. My son passed. He was learning at the same time. He was 17. He passed first time. I passed second time.
Well, that's all right. That's not too bad. Who's better out of you two?
He is.
Okay. I'm quicker.
He's quicker.
That's not necessarily better.
No. I just like to tootle and get to my destination.
The other thing to mention, they met marshalling.
Yeah.
And we go to Lowton Park quite a bit. And they're always looking for marshals. And it is such a good way to get involved in motorsport, isn't it?
It's a wonderful way.
One of the, there's a lad, I think last year he was 13, and he got the prize for the best marshal.
Oh, brilliant.
And of course he meets all the drivers.
Yeah.
He finds out about the cars.
Fabulous way to learn.
I think if anybody is interested in getting involved in motorsport and to get involved in hill climbs is very expensive, go and be a marshal.
Yeah. You must have some fabulous characters.
Oh, yeah, they're terrific
in your
people.
Club.
And they're so friendly, aren't they?
Yes.
All the marshals.
Yeah. Lowton in particular is a superb place.
What are your favourite things you've done over the years as a club?
Oh, we've been on some super runs. Sometimes it peed with rain. Sometimes it's been sunny.
Do you ever shed anyone on the way? Some of you just see black smoke.
Yes.
Right.
When there a lot of us went, then you spent the whole lunchtime saying, well, where did you go? And where did you go? You disappeared at so-and-so. What happened to you?
What's the etiquette? Just carry on.
Oh, yes.
Leave them to
Oh, yes.
Leave it with the RAC or the AA.
We have a system whereby we say, we're going this way, we'll see you at the end.
Yes.
And it was quite funny. We had a run last year to the Anglesey Motor Museum.
Okay.
And there was one of the members has got one of the fancy BMW M4 thingy-bobs, whatever it is. And one of his friends had got a Big Morgan V8. And we were going on the Wrexham bypass and we just heard this howl and they both vanished. We cruised along quite happily, got to the Anglesey Motor Museum and Karen and myself managed to get lost.
Yeah.
And half an hour later they rolled up.
I was going to say, are you good at navigating? Because none of these cars come standard with sat-nav, do they?
No.
Oh, no.
Karen is
She's
very
an idiot.
Good. There's one superb event based in Nantwich, just over the border, called the Weaver Wander.
Okay.
And it's a navigation run, normally around 100 miles or so.
Something like that.
And they do it on a thing called a tulip diagram, which is a series of pointers, and it will say in 2/3 of a mile, turn left.
Right, okay.
Great. Our car's a Japanese import, and the odometer is in kilometres.
Yeah.
So we've been to some very interesting places around the county.
We haven't got too lost, though, have we?
No, I mean, we were in Newport one day going in the wrong direction.
Well, we were.
About four other cars on the run stopped and said, we think you're going the wrong
way. Well, as long as you weren't in Newport, South Wales. You haven't gone too far. So are kit cars expensive? Are they more expensive than a normal car? Or is the fact that they come in pieces, does that make them cheaper?
Well, you've got to buy a car to start with, mostly. Not many are built from scratch. They're mostly built on a car. No, they're not expensive. I don't know how much a modern car is.
Truthfully, I don't know.
None of you like modern cars?
Not really.
No. Why? What is it? Is it
electronics?
Too complicated.
Right.
Yeah.
I think the fact that just being like everybody else, none of us like that.
You like to stand out, all of you.
I mean, we've got a fairly modern car, but you don't know what it's going to throw up next.
Do they lack a bit of soul?
Oh, absolutely. No soul at all in a modern car.
Do you feel like your cars have a bit of a personality of their own? Does each one have their own idiosyncrasies almost?
Yeah.
I think it sounds fabulous. So when do you meet next?
Well, we normally meet the first Tuesday in the month. And some years we've been meeting at the Bradford Arms at Knockin. But our lovely landlord is leaving and has bought a pub somewhere else. So we're deciding what we do this next month and then decide where we're going to find a base.
And how do people contact you for more info?
Well, the whole club was started, you've got to have email.
Okay.
So everything is done by email. If you haven't got email, you can't belong to the club.
And you've got a website as well, haven't you? I can see at the top of your newsletter.
Yeah.
Which is shack-uk.org.
Yes.
And anyone is welcome with a strange vehicle.
Yeah. But can I tell you the story about Gus?
Of course you can.
Well, it started... One of our members, our older members, Gus, he comes from Welshpool.
Is he also older than the Queen?
He's Jack's friend.
He's approaching that.
He must be getting on that way. But he built a Caterham.
Oh, wow.
Some 25 years ago. And he eventually he got older and he decided it had to go. So he sold it. Meanwhile, Eric in North Carolina bought a Caterham.
Okay.
With Gus as part of the registration. And he thought, oh, I'd love to find out where this came from. So he Googled Gus Ferguson, and Gus had been a parish clerk in Welshpool, and so he came up on the web.
There is an internet footprint.
Yeah. So Eric contacted Gus, and then Eric came to Shrewsbury last year.
From North Carolina.
Yeah, from North Carolina, and they met up, and they were both so thrilled.
Wow.
Eric... To find out about the origins of his car, and Gus to find out what had happened to his car.
That's fantastic.
And Eric is now one of our distance members.
Because you've got a few of those, haven't you?
Yeah. And he sends us stories about meeting. He's mad about English cars.
Right.
And he
hence shipping a Caterham across the Atlantic.
Yeah. I don't know if that happened. I think it happened after Gus had sold it to somebody else.
Right.
But, Eric sends us pieces for the Shack Chat. And he's came across, and he was hoping to come to Stoneleigh to the Kit Car Show, the National Kit Car Show in April. But it was a problem and he couldn't come because I'd sent him photographs of fields full of Westfields, fields full of Caterhams, fields full Robin Hoods and all the rest of them. He couldn't believe there were that many sevens in the world. And he was desperate to come and see them all at Stoneleigh.
So many cars that can actually go round corners, unlike American cars.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
But of course, in these dry places in America, they don't rot.
Oh, right, yeah.
So all these English cars, these dreadful old...
Is the weather the problem here?
Here, oh yes.
Right. So hence why people find, you know, Cadillacs from 1952 pristine in, you know, parts of... Right,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. But also, so many of the body kits are all plastic now.
Yeah.
So they're going to last
get brittle?
A bit better. No.
No.
It's thick stuff.
Okay.
It's blooming thick stuff.
Yeah. I'm going to have a go at some point. I'm going to have to teach myself how a car works before I can build one. I know vaguely, you push one of the pedals and it goes. It's fine. Ewan Brown, Karen and Kevin Walker from Shack Shropshire Alternative Car Club.